Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
I welcome everyone this morning that is listening to me. I pray that you'll listen to what I have to say. I have something I want to give you this morning. I want to talk about a phrase that's found in the scripture. It's looking for that blessed hope. You hear it? Looking for that blessed hope. We find it in Titus chapter 2. That's Paul the Apostle's letter, epistle, his letter to Titus, a young preacher that Paul had mentored and raised up into faith. And he's writing to Titus, and he tells Titus to talk to the people of the church over which Titus was pastor. But he says, you'll see it in Titus chapter 2, and I'm not going to read all of it, but you'll see it in verse 2, he's talking to things to say to aged men. Verse 3, things to say to aged women. There's verse 4, things to say to young women. There's verse 6, things to say to young men. There are things to say in verse 9 to servants and to masters. But then he writes these words. Let's begin reading here. Titus chapter 2 and verse 10. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for, and here it is, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to himself a people peculiar, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. What I want to concentrate on this morning, as I said, is this one thought. Looking for that blessed hope. You remember that's the phrase. The first part of verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope. I have a question to ask you. Think about this. Seriously, give this some thought. Is Christ's return that blessed hope? What does Paul, by inspiration, actually write? What did he actually write to Timothy? Now look what it says. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He does not say looking for that blessed hope, which is the glorious appearing. Paul was not calling the appearing the blessed hope, but he's calling or saying that he who is to come again, he who is to appear again, he is that blessed hope. Christ himself is that blessed hope, which gospel-called people are looking for. He is our hope. This is clearly what Hebrews chapter 6 says. And listen to what it says. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. And listen to what the Word of God says. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered. Even, here's the hope, even Jesus, you see it? Even Jesus, made and high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And listen to what it says. 1 Timothy 1 verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, look at it, which is our hope. Do you see that? You see, I'm trying to emphasize that what Paul actually wrote to Titus is that, yes, Christ is going to appear. He is going to come. There will be a second advent of Jesus Christ. But the advent itself is not the hope. It's the person who will come who is the hope. So again, to say his coming is that blessed hope is to miss a vital truth. You see, it is him that is to return. He, The person is our hope. This, I realize, would be a moot point if Christ himself was the sum and substance, if Christ's person and Christ's work was the sum and substance of all professed Christianity, it'd be a moot point for me to say this, but it's not. Sadly, it's not. He is not the center and the sum and the substance of all of professed Christianity today. Today, Christianity, when it comes to Christ's second advent, now listen to me now. When it comes to Christ's second advent, today, professed Christianity is all about times and seasons. Times and seasons. That means fixed periods and particular events. That's the words. These words are used in Scripture. Times and seasons. Fixed periods and particular events. They are not concentrated on Christ's person, Christ's work, Christ's perfections, Christ's merits, Christ's righteousness, Christ's glory, Christ's wrath. They don't concentrate on these things. But today's professed Christianity, when they talk about the appearing of Christ, the second advent of Christ, they talk about what? Fixed periods and particular events. Now, Paul rejects that. Listen to what he wrote the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. That doesn't sound like hope for some folks, but Christ is our hope, and Christ shall appear again. Paul rejects such an approach of dealing with fixed periods and particular events, or that is, times and seasons. You see, you know what I've said to you is a fact. It's a fact. If you go on TV, you go on the internet, you go listen to radio, you pick up books today, and when they talk about the person and work of Christ, or about the return of Jesus Christ, it's not about his person and work. It's not about what he's going to do, who he really is, but they talk about fixed periods. They talk about particular events. You see, when a person has no hope in Christ now, in the present, that person has no reason to hope in Christ's second advent. Why? Hebrews tells us plainly. It's just one short verse. Hebrews chapter 13, and listen to what verse 8 says. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Do you see it? Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever. Christ does not change. Therefore, hear what Christ said. Now, Christ spoke about his second advent when he was here at his first advent. He spoke about his second advent. But listen to what Christ wrote about it, or what he said about it, what Matthew writes about it. Matthew chapter 24, listen to these two verses. Matthew 24, verse 30 and 31. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. The elect of God, when Christ returns, he will send his angels to bring them out of the mass of humanity. Listen to what he says in verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father also. But as the days of Noe, or that is Noah, were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marriage, and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noe entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So we see clearly that the second appearing, the appearing of Christ, his second advent, rather, we see clearly it's not a blessed hope for everyone. Listen to what Christ said, and it's recorded by Luke. In Luke chapter 21, now listen to these verses. Luke 21 and verse 34, 35, 36. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, that is debauchery, and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Do you see that? Clearly, our Lord did not speak of his second advent, his appearing, his coming again, as a blessed hope for all men. Christ is the blessed hope for all that are called by his gospel. You see, today's second advent preaching. Now, think about this. Just stop a moment. Listen to what I'm about to say. Today's second advent preaching, that is, when men preach about Christ's return, his appearing, his second coming. Today's second advent preaching is rapture events, seven-year tribulation events, fixed periods relating to seals and trumpets and bowls, and the 144,000, the Antichrist, the woes, the 1,000 years, and 666. And it's all about these things. And you know that I'm speaking the facts to you. You know that when men talk about the second advent of Christ, in general, not everyone, but in general, many of them profess Christianity today. When they talk about the second advent of Jesus Christ, that's what they're always talking about. Rapture, 7 years tribulation, fixed periods, bowls, trumpets, 144,000, Antichrist, 666, 1,000 years. Yet consider this. How many today emphasize this? Now, we know that the book of the Revelation certainly has to do with many things that will have to do with his second advent, that is, Christ appearing, Christ coming again. But how many of them, when they talk about the second advent of Christ, read and preach on things like this? Revelation chapter 5, and listen to what it says. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look therein. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now, men talk about the seals, and there are certainly things in here about the seals, but listen to what it's saying about this book that has these seven seals that are about to be introduced, which introduce then trumpets and bowls, vials, all of these things. Listen, verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. This is Jesus Christ himself. And look, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of. Notice this redemption is out of. This redemption is not for everybody in the world, but it's for redemption of a people out of the world. Look, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, there it is, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power beeth unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. You see, when they talk about the second advent of Christ, they don't talk about this glorious one. Here's another thing, Revelation chapter 6. Listen to what it says, Revelation 6, verses 12 to the end of the chapter. And I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, here's one of those seals that only Christ could open. And I beheld, and he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, and even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled away, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? This is the Christ that is returning. Remember, he's the same yesterday and today and forever. Here's another one. Revelation chapter 13. Do you hear men when today, most people, most preachers, when you hear them preach about Christ's second advent, his appearing, do you hear them talking about these kind of things? About this person who is to return? No, they talk about the events, the things. But they rarely ever talk about him. Look at what it says. Revelation 13 verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Do you see? Now, think about this. I know there are people who want to deal with that, but then look at what it says in verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, that is, this beast with these heads. And all that dwelleth on the earth shall worship him. Look at it. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. How many people do you know talking about the book of life being a book that was written by God before the foundation of the world? God is not writing men and women's names down in the book of life. Their names are already recorded in the book of life. They are called the elect, the predestinated. That is a blessed hope, because that's all based upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. Listen to Revelation chapter 17. And I'm just scratching the surface. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying, Come up hither, and I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. What a statement. But now, listen to verse 17. Now listen, you go out and you read the rest of the context here. They're going to be men following after this great whore. But then listen to what it says in verse 17. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Is that the kind of God? Is that the kind of Christ that you hear men proclaiming as men's hope? He is the hope, but he's only the hope. He's only the hope for those that God Almighty has given birth to, spiritual life to, by his Spirit, and converts them by the preaching of the gospel. You see, if anyone even dare suggest that Christ, and let me say it, maybe you've heard someone say this before, maybe you haven't, but maybe even if you've heard it before, maybe it hasn't dawned on you, maybe God will just open your eyes and your ears and your heart this morning. Anyone dare even suggest that Christ, who is God, will be different now than then? That is nothing more than blasphemy. You know what I'm saying? I said it's nothing more than blasphemy. The blessed hope is the person, Jesus Christ himself. And that blessed hope shall return. Look at it again. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that great hope. And believers are looking for that blessed hope and his appearing. Oh, what a passage. So, Christ is not different. Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Now, hear what Christ said. And here's what he said to his own heart and soul. Matthew chapter 11. And listen to what Matthew records in Matthew chapter 11. Just a few verses there. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Listen to this. This is who Jesus Christ is. This is who he was. This is who he is. This is who he'll be when he returns. At his second advent. At his appearing. Listen. Verse 21, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom, do you hear what I'm saying, in the day of judgment, than for thee. Now listen, he's not done yet. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. And I ask, I interject here, but I ask, why? Look at what even Christ prayed to the Father. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And then, that's the context of when you hear, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But what's he saying then there? That you will take upon you his yoke. You will submit to the authority of King Jesus in all things. And he will be your hope. And he is going to appear again. This is what he taught. Listen to another. This is John chapter 17. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ praying to the Father again. We just read one prayer of Christ. In John chapter 17, we find that John recorded a prayer of our Lord to the Father, another prayer of our Lord to the Father. And listen to what Christ wrote. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So you notice he's thanking God for the people that God gave him, for this people out of the world, that God gave him out of the world, and they are going to be brought eternal life by him. Then listen, verse 9, I pray for them, that is those that God gave him out of the world. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Then listen to verse 20 and 21, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world that he didn't pray for, but that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And let me ask you a question. Is that happening right now? You know the answer to that. No, sir, it is not. But one day it will. Did you hear what I said? I said one day it definitely will. When Christ, who is the blessed hope of his elect, when Christ comes again, who is he who is the blessed hope of those who have been called by the gospel, Christ in his second advent, Jesus Christ will make all men without exception to know that when he came in his first advent and in his second advent, that he came to save his elect. And one day everyone will be made to confess that. Listen to what Paul wrote, 2 Thessalonians. And listen to these words. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Begin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Here's what he writes. Let me begin in verse 7. And to you who are troubled, and he's writing to the church at Thessalonica, of course, to believers, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, here's a question. Here's a question. Is Jesus Christ your hope? That's the question. His return is not the blessed hope for all men, but he is the blessed hope for all that's been called by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul told these same Thessalonians that he knew God had chosen them before the world began. Did you know that? That's when election took place. God's election of a people took place before the world began. And he says to them, 1 Thessalonians 1, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now, how in the world could you know that? How could you know God chose someone before the world began? We don't see their names. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world began. But we don't see their names. But look, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. Now, it did come in word, but not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and this, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So again, I say this. Jesus Christ is the blessed hope, but he's only a blessed hope for those that God Almighty calls in his sovereign power by the preaching of the gospel. Else, when he comes, there will be no hope for you. This is thus saith the Lord. Now, if this gospel, this message interests you, then I'll let you know at 12 noon every Sunday, WVBACW, you can hear a message from Sovereign Grace Chapel.